I turned that heat on a little more earlier. It might have been a mistake. Some of you are like, nah, it's good. All right. We're wrapping up the things that we didn't get to last week, but we're still getting into it. How many of you know that there's nothing that we could do here that would ever be too much? You ever put too much into something, and then afterwards you're kind of like, oh, that wasn't worth it, was it? You know? You throw something. Have you ever had the disappointment of setting up for a party that people just didn't really come out for? That hurts, man. But you know what? There is nothing in worshiping our Lord that is just too much. Where, you know, it's just like, oh, that's just, he doesn't deserve that. Right? Anything we do for our Lord, anything, it is worth it for him. There is never too much that we could do to show God we love him. You understand, of course, within context, I'm not being crazy. I'm just saying there is nothing you do for the Lord you can ever look back and say that wasn't worth it. How many of us do we know that he blesses in the midst of our discouragements and our trials and our problems? I'd rather learn from happy times than hard ones, but I learn a lot better from hard ones. I notice no amens on that. But we are still grateful for our God being good because it's his character and his being that is good no matter what. No matter what. So we can praise him. And the whole point of this, first of all, let's give a praise to God. I got a text this morning. If you've been following along with the church, with Evelyn, with people in the prayer chain, I heard today that Larry is going home. That's an amen. Even just a few days ago, that poor man was having a horrible time. And it's been up and down, but by the grace of God, he gets to go home. Let's just say a thank you. Oh, Father, thank you for your provision for Larry and Evelyn. Keep your hand upon him. He's still healing, but we are in awe of the work that you did, bringing him from where he was at to now. And he is still in your hands, just as we are. And so we continue to put them both to your care, which they're already in. We just acknowledge that, and we say, thank you. Thank you for taking care of our brother and sister. Thank you for your faithful, kind healing. Thank you for being our good, good Father. And it's in Jesus' name we say this and pray. Amen. 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 That's a worthy praise. So, you know what's funny how God works things out? A lot of times there are times when I get songs in my head when I think of the message. And then I'm tempted to kind of go to Dennis and say, you know, maybe you could kind of do this or that song. Sometimes I feel like, don't step on the man's toes. Let God work in him. You want to know what the one song I couldn't get out of my head and I wanted to tell you all week? To God be the glory. And it's like, okay, and I saw the song list, and I'm like, thank you, Lord, you took care of it. So that's always nice to see. It's like the Lord working to do his good and pleasing will in the body. It's not just me, it's not just you, it's him working in all of us and leading and guiding us for his good plans, his good purpose, his good means, right? Sometimes, however, have you and I felt that urging and been tempted to say, I don't know about that one, God. You guys all know that old joke about the guy who falls off a cliff and grabs onto that little branch, right? And you all know what's coming. He cries up there and says, is there anyone up there who can help me? And who replies, right? God. He says, I'll help you. I don't know if that's what God sounds like, but I tried to give it a little more gravitas. You know, I'll help you. You know, and he says, who's that? It's me, God. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, what do you want me to do? What does God say in the joke? Let go of the branch. What's the man's reply? Is there anyone else up there? Right? Do I trust God enough to put what he tells me first, even when it seems like it's opposite of what I understand? Am I going to trust God enough to put him first in everything? And that's the crux of this part of the sermon, right? This part of the prayer, of the Lord's prayers, we're getting back into it. And he says, well, we're going to start this off. We've already done our Father who art in heaven, right? You know, people joke, I know the name of God, it's art, our Father who art in heaven, you know, bum. But it's like, no, he starts off and says with these things, right? Hallowed be your name or thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, right, on earth as it is in heaven. This part of the first prayer where we all put God above, even in our prayers. First, we acknowledge him in these different ways. God is Father. We talked about that last week. And God, as in heaven, this distant above distinct and yet more intimate than we understand. We talked about, again, you and I, God didn't look down on us and says, how am I going to relate to these confusing little beings? Oh, they have fathers. You can call me dad. And it's like, no, God was father first. And he gave the example of what a father is, who a father is. And then he built that when he made humanity and made the family and says, you reflect me to them. That's where father comes from. And then here's this thing, because you guys have all, have we been burned before when we put someone else first? You know, you hate to say that, when we put someone else and we're thinking, okay, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to put you here in this position in my life. And then I can tell you, if you've put a person in that position, how many of us have been disappointed? And I hate to say it, you could probably point fingers at me. Say, I was expecting more of you. You're right. You could point your fingers at anybody, your parents, your teachers, and say, I expected more. I put you in this position and I was hurt. Right? You know, there's a joke. I remember going to a job interview where somebody was jokingly saying, you ever been at a part of one of those jobs where your boss invites you to the house and he shows you the big house and all the cars and the swimming pools? And I shared this before, and he says, you know, with more years of hard work, all of this one day will be mine. Right? You know, it's like you think the boss is going to encourage you in your hard work for yourself, and it's like, you're helping me. And we get this thing like God somehow is selfishly pulling focus and attention to himself when we all know that ain't true. God is not a man that he should lie, right? He is not like us in the humanity, sinful nature. In fact, our God is perfect. I want you to put that for number one on your point. Put our God is perfect. His name will be honored. We talked briefly about it last week, right? We're reminding ourselves of God's primary position in our lives, even in the midst of our needs, and the importance of prayer in all of it. John Bunyan said, prayer makes a man cease from sin, and sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. We are tempted to stop, and when we come, Jesus has given us a very good model. Anybody look at it? Hallowed be your name. Y'all use that word still? We talked about that last week a little bit. Hallowed be this or that. We don't. We do remember, though, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, right? One of the big ten. We shall not approach God. You guys already know one thing about God. His name is holy already, isn't it? His name is already holy. He doesn't really need our help. Why is he telling us to hallow and holy his name and make it holy? Why should we desire to make his name holy? You're like waiting for me. No, I'm serious. You guys, you preach it. No, there's a lot of things, right? And we recognize, of course, the importance of a name. I think Jesus said it best. You guys know when Jesus was talking to the disciples and he's actually praying to God, and he starts in John 17, Jesus's high priestly prayer when he's talking to the Father and the disciples are there. And he says, Father, I have manifested your name to the world. When we talk about a name, we understand that the name of God being hallowed is not just respecting the pronunciation of a title and how we say it and when we say it, but a name was meant to describe who the person is. And the names of God, all of them he's given us in Scripture, all speak to who God is, to what he does. It's a description. If you could think of a dictionary that was dedicated to understanding who God is, this book comes closer than anything else. And it says who he is. We talked about our favorite names of God. I like yours. Elroy is a good one, the God who sees me. But he's talking of this right here. He says, I think it's more than just protecting the words. The Jewish people had decided to take the name of God, the one he gave to Moses, and says, I am who I am. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Four letters. That's right. He says, here's a name I'm going to use to describe myself. And it's special. And so they said, well, let's never say that name. In fact, in case anybody messes it up, they stuck in the vowels from Adonai into that so that no one could accidentally mispronounce that name. Or so that no one could actually pronounce it accurately. Boy, I'm mispronouncing a lot, aren't I? So they said, we're going to make it so that they can't get it and accidentally say his name. But we know that there's more than just saying the name. It's who He is. If we take God's name seriously, we recognize it's just not taking the name, it's taking who He is seriously. Guys, any one of us couldn't be summed up in just the meaning of our name, let alone God. And He's given us lots of good ones. El Roy, I am that I am, right? How about King of King and Lord of Lords? Anybody celebrate that one? King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What do they follow with? Hallelujah. Because we have a God who is above all, who is better than anything we can imagine. And when we start to seek who God is, you guys, have you followed in the bulletin? Brenda started this, I think, a while back, where they have the names of God written down in the bulletin, just giving you a little bit of a picture. Sometimes like, oh, that's some neat Bible trivia. It's like, that's a way God chose to reveal Himself to humanity so that they might know Him in what He does and what He calls Himself. If we're going to hallow God's name and to make it holy, part of it is just recognizing what it means, who God really is. When we say Jehovah Jireh, God provides. Ooh, stop that. Get out of here. That's right. When we say Jehovah Jireh, God provides, do I know God as Jehovah Jireh? Am I trusting that He is faithful to live up to His name? If I say Yahweh, if I say that name, am I trusting that He is the self-existent one? The one who is, who was, and who will be forever and ever. No beginning, no end. Only one God who can claim that. Only one. Say it again. Ooh, God Most High. We have these wonderful titles, but do we really trust God for who He says He is? I think part of hallowing the name can be in respecting God for who He is. Because in English, we just throw out that three-syllable word, right? You know, we often say God, then blank, blankety, blank afterwards, right? Or a lot of people do. And it's not just that about respecting the title we use. It's about really respecting God and His character, His being. Am I keeping Him in my heart holy, separate? Am I understanding how He's revealed Himself? And again, what is the perfect expression of God that the world has ever seen? Jesus, I have made manifest Your name, He said. If Jesus has perfectly manifested the name of God to the world, am I honoring Jesus as I should? We as Christians, it says they were called, remember? In Antioch, Christians first, little Christs, a derogatory, insulting term, but yet they wore it with pride because the people around them recognized they were of Christ because of their character and actions and being. They resembled Jesus Christ. May that be true of us, that we reflect Christ as He reflects the Father, that we might hallow His name by what we do, honoring the name of God. Did you know that when we as individuals honor God's name, you know that honors us and other people, right? When we think about it again, if we put God first, if my idea of God is smaller than what it should be, does that affect how I live? Yes. Absolutely. If I know I've quoted it many times, C.S. Lewis, who came out of the trenches of World War I, seeing his friends face down in puddles, he looked and says, if only man could look and realize that we were eternal beings, they would not do this to each other. That they would not just go away, but they existed somewhere after this, in heaven or hell, depending on their relationship to God. He says, we would not do this. More so, if people understood God as He truly is, would we continue to live the way we live? Because our own personal view of God is going to shape the way I interact with everybody. In the same way, if I undervalue God, I tend to undervalue those made in His image. If I don't respect God in the way He wants, I'm not going to treat myself right. Because who else did God make in His image besides others? Us. He made us in our image. How many of humanity has degraded themselves because they valued themselves little? We understand that we don't want to preach to make oneself into God, because that's a big problem, isn't it? But if we understand who we really are in Christ Jesus and who we were made to be and who God really is, we'll value ourselves more. we will not be so inclined to accept sin readily, nor will we be so inclined to treat somebody else made in His image in that negative way. When we honor God and put Him first, we invariably will respect Him, respect His laws, respect His ways, and we will honor and respect His creations, His dear children, much, much more. Do you think it surprised people when Jesus was there preaching and little kids wanted to come to Him and the disciples were keeping them away? No, no, no. You stay back from Him. What did He tell them? No, you let them come to Me. What did He say would happen to those who hinder these little children of His? It's better they had a millstone tied around their neck and then chucked into the deepest part of the sea. Folks, that's tough language. And Jesus is saying, don't you dare hinder anybody from coming to Me. If we undervalue God's name, if we do not respect Him for who He truly is, we risk undervaluing little ones, whether it's out there or even right here. So it's so important that we recognize the importance of not just hallowing His name, but knowing it. What does it mean and who is it? Who He is. You know, when we look at things that are there, God has kind of broken things down into some simple ways for us to understand. What are the two ways the Ten Commandments can be broken down? Right? It's like when Jesus was questioned, and what's the greatest commandment, right? And what did He tell him? Love the Lord. Yeah, you got it. That's right. How do you relate to God? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? When He says again, I am the Lord thy God who brought you out of Egypt, you shall have no gods before Me. Neither shall you make idols to worship them. You shall, again, remember My name. It's holy, right? Keep the Sabbath holy. First, your relationship with God. Second, how do you treat others? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The rest of the commandments deal with our relationships with other people, not just us personally, with other people and relationships. And what is the prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, holy, or shoot, to be kept and made holy is Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts or our trespasses, right? As we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil or the evil one. It's the same kind of pattern. God says, put Me first and you second. It goes together. You can't have the one without the other. Guys, what happens to those who are fighting? Because they want to have one without the other. They want to have the blessings without the God attached. What did Satan do? He says he desired after God's position. In pride, he says, I desire to be God, to be worshipped, to be esteemed. We recognize that that kind of self-honor, outside of what God has set up, does not work. Not only is it just wrong, it doesn't work. God didn't make us to be like that. You see, one of the best names, like I said before, and I love this, as we think about this, is that all the names God chose to show Himself as, it was King. And just like Father, people already knew what a king was. Remember when Samuel was upset with Israel? Why? Because they had gone, say it again.
They wanted a king.
He says, give us a king like the nations around us have, right? And he was mad, and God said, don't be upset. They didn't reject you as judge. They've rejected Me as king. They had a king, and it was God, and He was a good king. He didn't demand all these crazy things of them like a king was. He didn't put them into slavery, demand all these taxes. He says, if you put an earthly king above you, you will suffer all these things. And did they not do that? Think of the earthly kings that were listed. Most of all the ones of Israel, if not all, that are listed in the Bible, were good or bad. At least of Israel when they split up. Now of Judah after they had split, of those ones, because they split as a kingdom, only a few kings in, right? Saul, not so good. David, a lot better. You know, man after God's own heart, adulterer, murderer, what? You know, but hey, God at least says, this guy's coming back to Me. You know, He's showing us the example. You sin, remember, repent, and repeat. You come on back. And then Solomon, in his sins, he says, because of your father David, I will keep the kingdom together. for his sake, but in the days of your sons it'll be taken and it'll be divided. And those kings of Judah, only about 8 of 20 are recorded to have been good and sought the Lord. And in that, not even their whole lives, just like any one of us, there will be ups and downs and roller coasters. And they record some pretty big dips in those roller coasters and rises. Can we admit mankind has not done so well in our own kingship? How do we do well ruling ourselves? Anybody tired of political processes and seeing how things go? We don't do so great. And we're not doing so great in some ways. But we recognize again that no human king, no man, no woman is going to fulfill the role that God can do and does do as king. And so when we see this thing come up, you know what's great about it too? Jesus has his own merchandise, because it says on his robe and on his thigh is written King of Kings and Lord of Lords, right? Can anyone else wear Jesus' clothes like that? No, because nobody can have that name tag. No one can bear that title. It says the Lamb is wearing this. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because we know the next part. And the point number two, our God is, that's not a typo, it's prefect, not perfect. Our God is prefect. It means a ruler, a leader, because his kingdom is coming. His kingdom is coming. Our king carries the only authority that matters and the right to rule everything. Guys, who owns the moon? God, you're right. Well, do we recognize that as human beings? Maybe individually. You know that the UN wrote a charter in 1967 that says no nation can own the moon, right? Do you know who is challenging that to a degree? A man's name is Dennis Hope. In the 1980s, he read the UN Charter and says, it says no nation can own the moon, but it doesn't say a man can't. And so Dennis Hope has been selling plots on the moon for over 40 years. Did you know that? Or almost 40 years. He's done it. He's made money on this. Because people are, his standing on it is that he's written the UN and explained their problem. And said, you guys have said no nation can own the moon, but I'm not a nation, so I declare the moon mine, and I'm selling active parcels as is speaking. He's made hundreds of thousands, if not millions, by doing these things. The funny thing is that he says the UN hasn't written him back, so he's assuming they're complicit with the proposal. You know? So guys, if you wonder who owns most of the moon, it's Dennis Hope. So we look and we laugh because we think of how silly it is, right? Yeah, it's a scam, all right, you know. You know what, if nothing else, he'll give you a plaque. It'll look official. It'll say you own this grid of the moon, you know. So yeah, don't start writing your checks, right? Because we know how laughable that sounds, right? It's a joke, you know, like beachfront property in Arizona, you know. I got something for you. Well, first of all, good luck getting to your retirement home on the moon, right? It's hard enough to get there. But we look at these things like of who can own these things, right? But we all know when we laugh, because God does. The manufacturer owns it. And he has the right to own it. And in fact, we talked last week, right, about, and this sounds kind of weird, almost antithetical. And I don't mean to do this as a play on quarantine and COVID, but who actively is self-quarantining now for our benefit? But God the Father, who is keeping his glory back. Because we can't take it. Fallen humanity and creation can't take it. When people wanted to see his glory, he had to protect them, shelter them, and only show a little bit. He says, if you see my face, you will die. So God quarantined himself. But again, is the problem, how often does the world treat the problem as God? You're the problem. He's like, no, if I showed up, you wouldn't be. You've got the problem. The great news is that who's got the cure? Oh, God does. He sent his son. He laid aside the glory that he had before the world was with the Father so that he could take the problem away. It's a one-word answer. What's the problem? Sin is the problem. Sin is the problem, right? Missing the mark. It's, I didn't get it right. Anything opposed to God or his will, his desires is what? Sin. Anything outside of what he wants is what? Sin. And why is it that way? Because who's God to say what's sin and what's not sin? Because he's king. Because the moon is his. Dennis Hope didn't take it away. Everything is His. He says, everything in the world is mine. I made it. Everything you see in the sky, I made it. Everything you don't see in the sky, I made it. When you look deep and find out what you're made of, who made that? I did. God says, I've made it all and it's mine and I rule over it. He is King. King of kings and Lord of lords. Adrian Rogers said it. He says, God doesn't want a place in your life. He doesn't want a snug corner of your heart, right? He said He wants not just prominence in your life. God demands preeminence in your life. Why? Just because He is? Well, we want to acknowledge truth, right? On a very basic level, we have to acknowledge God for what He says. Because it's true! Anybody else ever tired of believing lies? Or bowing down to lies, things that aren't true? Man, you know, it's like you can watch, you know, I don't want to get political. Shut my mouth. But you see something. You ever seen something before that you heard out of somebody's mouth 6-9 months ago? And then you hear the same particular person go back and do a 180 on it and act like they believed that the whole time? I know I can do it. I can get proved wrong, but we should admit it, right? But it's funny to see some people just do a 180 on the news and it's like, oh, I felt this way the whole time. Are you sure? You know, you could say that before there was the internet. I can pull up 10 clips of you doing the opposite thing. And it's there. We should be able to say, I was wrong. This is the way it is. But God, who always is right, is just saying, acknowledge the fact of what this is. Acknowledge reality. Acknowledge the truth. Because in the reality, our problem is sin. You see, His kingdom come. Now, you know, what did John the Baptist preach? Repent for what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's coming. Make straight paths for the king, right? That's His job. He says, He's coming. And then when Jesus started His ministry, what did He say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what did He say when He was questioned about it later in His ministry? He says, for the kingdom of God is in your midst. It is within you. In the Kerev. Oh, I love that. That's a Hebrew word. Kerev. I always used to think of, like, you ever take that, oh gosh, you ever played a See's Candy roulette and you bite into that candy? I bought my wife, now it was left over from Christmas, but it was See's. It's still nice. It's not bad. But I got a little box of See's dark chocolates, but we don't really always know what's in the middle of those things. And so that box had about half of those things chewed open because it was, ooh, kids, do you want a bite? Do you want some of these? Now, they love them. It's still candy, but you get some of those ones, you're wondering what they stuffed in there, right? So I'm just saying, she's a little more picky. I'm not putting her down. She's not here at the moment, so I'm good for the time. I got in trouble last week. She says, I heard that at home. She was watching on YouTube. But I didn't say anything bad. I'm just joking. But we see these things. We don't really know, but at the Kerev, I think of caramel. Boy, if you're learning a new language, get some things to help your memory to link them over. Kerev, caramel filling. I want caramel in the middle of my stuff. That's way too sweet, not good for me. But I think of the middle, in the midst, that chewy good center. And He's saying the kingdom of heaven is within you. Not always perceived on the outside, but it's there. Because God Himself is making, remember, I've said it before, He's starting the new creation. Anybody looking forward to new creation? New bodies, new heavens, new earth? And where does He start the new creation? He says, He starts it in you. He starts it in you. He says, He have come that you be born again from above to be a new creation, right? Different than before, made new in Christ Jesus. You're the beginning of the new creation. But what is still in the world around us? Sin. That's right. But our King who is coming and who was here, isn't that neat? Think about it, guys. We base, most of the world bases their years, their calendars on when Jesus Christ came upon this earth. That's neat. Now, we are humans. We can make up whatever we want, change our calendars. But it bears a testimony that Him coming was the most important event, maybe outside of creation, the world has ever seen. The most important thing we have is the King coming to earth. And He said He's coming again. I don't know how we're going to keep calendars in the future or if we'll need them in God's kingdom. I don't think that we'll be looking, counting down the days to when we can get out of the toil and the drudgery of life. And we can just be looking and saying, thank God today is today because Jesus reigns and I'm with Him. We're not going to be looking forward to retirement. Oh, I just hate having to live in the perfect world with my perfect Savior. He fixed me and made everything good. Can't wait till I can retire and get on with my life. No, Jesus, we're not going to hope for that anymore. I love it how Jesus talked about his kingdom. When he is king, what did he describe it as? You'll enter into his rest. They looked forward to entering into the promised land because everything was so good there. And it all pointed to the world that he would make that will be perfect. The veritable garden again. And we're looking forward to his kingdom coming because it reminds us, because when we're starting to pray, normally did we have a desire to start to pray to God because everything was so great? No, usually we got on our knees because everything stink. And we want to get to the last half of the prayer, right? I need some daily bread. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I am sinning. And by the way, I want to also forgive them too. Help my heart. And don't lead me to temptation. Keep me on paths that are narrow for you. Guide my paths, O Lord. We pray these prayers because we want to get there. But he says, don't forget what comes first. Don't forget what comes first. The kingdom that was here, but not fully. Because one day we all talked about it, right? We doing okay? Okay, I saw you looking afraid. Did I mess up? Okay, good. Okay, talk to me later if I did. All right. So, we talked about again, God himself limiting his glory to be manifest to man. So that we would still have an existence. But yet one day, what does get quarantined? Well, sin does. Because there are still two kingdoms, and there always have been. You're either recognizing God as the truth of every name that ever he was given, and he has given himself, really means the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or we are in rebellion. And we are sinning and not recognizing his authority. And y'all, the Bible says that we try to make ourselves little kings when we sin, don't we? Little queens, little lords. I'm going to do it my way. But it says in the end, I'm just pretending. I'm really serving someone else. The first rebel, the one who started it. And who is that? Do you want to be on his payroll? I can't imagine Satan's company. You know, there's a wireless commercial that's out there and it's a joke and they have Satan working to run their commercials. If you've seen it, it's funny. But the sad joke is that's a reality and that Satan really is running world kingdoms and running things in a rebellion against God. It's real. Guys, I would much rather, because think about it. You know what they talk about? It. In fact, we're going to get to the next point here because y'all been watching. I know time's getting late and there's a meal today. Praise Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Oh, we got plenty of them. That's a bad, well, that was more a bad joke, but yeah, we can always go across the street. I think he put IGA across there because that's real easy. So don't worry, we'll get some crackers. And looking at this, getting to the next point, and summarizing the kingdom, an encouraging thought is that God's kingdom is closer to be manifesting fully today than it was yesterday. You and I are closer to the Christmas Day, part two, right? When Jesus comes back. Amen. It is closer today than it was yesterday. We are looking forward to the returning King and the day when he is no longer quarantined and limited. Because of why? What did he say? Because of mercy. He's like, are you jealous that I'm not coming back because of his great mercy? Because he's desiring more to come to repentance? That's what the word says. He's quarantined for our benefit. And one day, there will be no more quarantine. In fact, the only quarantine are those who have chosen not to repent, to rebel and continue in that with Satan as their Lord of Lord and King of Kings, which is a stolen title. We recognize that's not where we want to be, that kind of quarantine. I think a lot of us have said we don't want to be quarantined anymore. And that is not the kind of quarantine anybody wants. There is no party in hell. There is no happy smiles. Satan is not happy in hell. Nobody is. We don't even know what it means to be separated because even now God is still using great things to work in our world with glory that is revealed in his church by his spirit through the world. Folks, it ain't as bad as it can get. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Because what of the good in the world? That's because there's a good God. But if God takes his goodness out of everything, what's left? I don't want to be there. Neither do you, and nobody has to be by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. The last point, our God is passionate. His desires are good, pleasing, and perfect. Our God is passionate. Your will on earth as it is done in heaven.
Can you want to know what's really, really, really different about heaven and earth? Yes, God's glory isn't hidden there. But also, who's in heaven with him? Oh, Jesus, the Father, the Son, the Spirit is there. How about holy angels that did not rebel against him with Satan? The angels who stand in his presence and give him glory, obey him, love him. What are we told in Scripture? I know some may want to argue those points, but again, I do believe the Scripture is clear that heaven is also a place for those who have fallen asleep in Christ Jesus. Because he has made them new so that they might be able to be in his presence and to be with him. Heaven is a very good place, and his will is done there. Why? Because like any king, they have people with them. And those faithful honor their king in his heart, his desire. Is that done on earth as much as we'd like? Folks, could you imagine, even in a world that's fallen, even in a world where Satan is still running around causing problems, even in a world that still sees death, if every single one of us, you and I, decided today that I'm going to submit myself, let's do James 4, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and draw near to God, seek his face in everything, that I would submit to him everything that I have, which is what any Christian would and should do, and anybody hopefully would and should do, even with our failures and our faults, could you imagine the kind of world we have? Do you think it'd be as bad as it is now? I think it'd be better. Everybody having that heart for Christ. That would be amazing. And yet God says that's how it will be. Except we won't even sin. It won't be there anymore. Sin and death are gone. The future we have a hope for. His will. On earth as it is in heaven. That's going to be the norm. Can anybody give an amen? Amen? What did he say that his will is? Remember, he says in Romans chapter 12, talking about, right, submit yourselves, right, unto God, right, like a living sacrifice. That sounds painful, right? I don't want to be a sacrifice. That hurts, but a living one, ow! But he says again, that we might prove what the will of God is, right? His good, pleasing, acceptable, perfect will. Because our Father, whatever he desires, whatever is demonstrable of his character, is good. And it goes back. His will and his names, the perfection of God. These are the things that we can focus on. And we get to do it now. But better is coming. Time is short. Let's pray. Father, our Father, you are in heaven right now. Time and space and heaven can't even limit where you can possibly be. But you, however that is in reality, have taken active steps to protect us. And you give us opportunities. You've given us your word. You've given us your son. You have given us brothers and sisters, food, breath, life. There is good in this world, and it's good that you have brought. But in the same way, you understand and you know that the world has still been polluted by sin. So we pray in order to remind ourselves, because this is how you taught us, to remember you as our loving Father, who is in heaven, even now for our benefit, but you have not abandoned us. Help us in our prayers to remember to hallow your name, to set you above everything else, and to read the Scriptures, to know what your names are, and that we'd look at them and study them and recognize they speak to your being and who you are. So that we might know you better. Because when we know you better, we draw near to you, you change us. And we become different people, better people. People who can love ourselves in a godly way and love our families and our neighbors and our enemies in the right way. Your kingdom come. It's already here in the midst of people who are born again, but we desire for its fulfillment. Come, Lord Jesus, come. There will be a day soon when this happens. May we be ready now that in our midst the kingdom of God is birthed. In sinners repenting, that those who are just returning now to your will, that we would say, I want to do your will today, Jesus. Your will above my own. May we honor your name, do your will, and recognize your kingship. You have been given all authority in heaven and on earth, Son of God, Jesus Christ, Messiah. It is yours, your authority, your church, your world, everything and everyone. And the good that we desire can really only be under your perfect management. Grow our love and our understanding of you that we might be different and have better prayer. Not just to improve prayer, but to know you better and to be changed. Lord, thank you for loving us so much to share this with us. And as we go forward next week into looking at our prayers for each other and ourselves, we'd remember your goodness. May you receive all of the glory for who you are and the great things you have done. How great you are, oh my God. Help us to give you glory now. May you rule in us. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.